4, 3, 2, 1, 0. We have liftoff of the Falcon 9.
Stage 1.
Falcon 9 has cleared the tower.
All right, that may sound like a NASA takeoff of the shuttle, perhaps, for you, but actually that's Falcon 9. It's a rocket from Space Exploration Technologies. It is a commercial company that was the first to launch a spacecraft, have it orbit the Earth, and then safely recover it. What does this mean for NASA? Well, it means maybe NASA is moving into the commercial business. Joining us now is Lori Garver. She's NASA's deputy administrator. And Elaine Thorndike, CEO of the Colorado Association for Manufacturing and Technology. And the reason that you're with us, Elaine, is because Colorado, the state of Colorado, is entering into a partnership with NASA. Explain, well, briefly, what this partnership does in terms of moving technology developed by NASA into creating jobs for Colorado. How does that work?
Yes, well, it is, it's a collaborative framework for, people to work together to solve some of the common challenges and obstacles to getting technologies to market faster. So this partnership is with, directly with our organization and with NASA. We are trying to work with the aerospace companies and leverage, the aerospace manufacturers so that in addition to having all of the technologies here, a lot of the technologies here, we can start to build things.
All right. Well, Lori Garver, explain what this means for NASA itself. NASA is a scientific research organization to a certain extent, and many of the things NASA has discovered have been used by other companies in commercial ways. But is NASA now getting into the commercial business?
Well, it's exactly right that we're a scientific and technical organization, and one of our basic principles is as we develop technologies, we do turn those over to the private sector, and we've been working with the private sector since our founding in 1958. What's exciting right now is that space transportation is at the point where after 50 years of being almost entirely managed by the government, we are loosening our grip and allowing companies like SpaceX to manage it themselves. They will then put in their own innovation, lower costs, so more and more activities can be done in space more cheaply.
Do you have to loosen up a little bit just because of budget restrictions? I mean, is this NASA's pathway forward to continue with its mission is by speeding up the process of commercializing its research?
That's absolutely true. It is somewhat out of necessity, but it's the right thing to do. The government historically has just played this incubator role, and it's better for society and for the economy to grow jobs and open new markets as the private sector gets more and more involved, and that will allow NASA to go farther doing the exploration that we have, that the country has come to know and expect from us.
But Lori Garver, NASA's deputy administrator, does that mean that the scientific missions of NASA to a certain extent will be influenced? What you research will be influenced by what makes money?
Not at all. We ask the great questions. Are we alone? And as we are expanding our frontier out, there will be markets developed by the private sector based on those technologies. The things we're doing in Colorado with Elaine, for instance, many of them are focused on the energy industry. There are a lot of commonalities between what we find in space we have to do through solar energy and recycling water, those technologies that can be very helpful to humanity here on Earth.
That is Lori Garver, NASA's deputy administrator, and Elaine Thorndike joined us, CEO of the Colorado Association for Manufacturing and Technology. If it works the way these two women say that it will, they say it'll bring 10,000 new jobs in 5 years to the state of Colorado.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.